I'd like to read two passages of scripture. The first passage is in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the second passage is in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Rise up and go southward on the way which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same as desert. And he rose up and went, and lo, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a man in power under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to worship at Jerusalem, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, Approach and join this chariot. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Dost thou then know what thou art reading of? And he said, How should I then be able, unless someone guide me? And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment has been taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answering Philip said, I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other? And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as they went along the way, they came upon a certain water, and the eunuch says, Behold water, what hinders my being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they went down both to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. But when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no longer, for he went on his way rejoicing. Dear hearer, this is a favourite day, a day when the glad tidings of Jesus are being announced. How it stirs the affections to hear the testimony of the one who thought it not an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form. Where I've read in Acts, the evangelist Philip begins calling on the scripture from Isaiah, which the eunuch was reading. That's where he began, where I want to begin, at the incarnation. And the one who thought it not an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, was found in the manger at Bethlehem. There was an announcement at that time, and it was an announcement by an angel, and he brought the glad tidings of great joy to all the people. For today in the city of David, a Saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Oh, you think of what was contained in that babe. Hymn writer puts it, O strange yet fit beginning of all that life of woe in which thy grace was winning, poor man, his God to know. The birth of Jesus was foretold in the Old Testament. The prophet Micah could say, Bethlehem Ephrathah, little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth to me, who is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from the days of eternity. Think of the greatness of the one who lay there, none other than God over all, blessed forever. We come into the compass of a babe, never ceasing to be who he was by what he became, the one who was able to command all things receive being through him. He was the creator by whom it says he made the worlds, that is Jesus. And yet there in Bethlehem's manger, dependent on his mother. Oh, the glory of the incarnation, the glory of down-stooping love. What a message is the message of the gospel. It's a message of Jesus. It's a message of love. You think of that pathway as it began there. You think of the announcement when he began his public service. The Father's voice being heard, drawing attention to the one who had always and ever pleased him during these largely hidden years. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. You think of these years that ensued. Think of how he moved about amongst men. Think of the grace that marked the Saviour. Indeed, it was said of him as he began to preach at Nazareth that they wondered at the words of grace that proceeded out of his mouth. He moved about to bring the grace of God to bear on lost and ruined men affected by sin. When the kindness and love to man of our Saviour God had appeared in Jesus, he was there to make God known. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was Jesus and his service here. He could say, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." You think of the work of Jesus in his years of service. You think of what he did. Think of the way in which he opened the eyes of the blind. He loosed the tongue of the dumb. He healed the leper. He raised up the lame. All this was a witness to God's essential and lasting interest in man. Not a passing interest, but an essential interest in man. That was Jesus as he moved here in perfect goodness, always obedient to his Father. "I do always the things that please the Father, sent into the world not to judge the world, but that the world might be saved by him." He was in the world reconciling the world to God. Oh, what a service the Lord Jesus undertook as he moved through this scene, moving on steadily to complete that which he came to do. He came to do the Father's will, and that will entailed that he should lay down his life sacrificially. The offering that was looked for was found in Christ. He alone was the one who could bear the cross. The sufferings that were to be occasioned at the cross were borne by Jesus. Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch up where he'd been reading that portion from Isaiah, that precious portion, that scripture that tells us about all that Jesus undertook. He was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Think of the Saviour who was stricken and smitten. Yes, he was stricken by men, but smitten by God. "All we like sheep have gone astray," it could be said in that chapter in Isaiah 53. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgression. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, what a wonderful prophetic scripture Isaiah 53 is. And so we've read of him being led as a lamb to the slaughter. That was after he was taken. No one could have taken Jesus until his time was for him to be taken. We need to just take account of that, that the Lord allowed himself to be taken, to be delivered up into the hands of wicked men. His perfect goodness brought into relief the wickedness that was there at that time. Those that he'd come to serve hated him without a cause and gave him up to be brought before the Roman authority, the bar of the secular authority of the day. Pilate on the judgment seat makes an announcement. "I find no fault in this man." How could he? The blessed Saviour did always the things that were pleasing to the Father. He glorified his Father on the earth. He completed the work that was given him to do. And there, before the bar of this world, he was judged and condemned to death as a result of the cry, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him." Think of the cry of the mob at that time. Well, Pilate, to agree to it, gave him over into the hands of the soldiers after having scourged him. Think of the guilt of that man, that ruler. The Lord could say, "Thou hast no authority over me unless it were given to thee by God." He was in the place of authority and could have released Jesus, but he delivered him up to be crucified. The soldiers and the hatred or in part of their way of acting, put a crown of thorns upon the head of Jesus and a purple robe upon him. You think of the way in which he was treated. Could be said his face was marred more than any man's, and his visage more than the sons of men. That was my Saviour. That's what he endured at the hands of men. And then we think of him on the cross, take account of him there, as he was taken out and lifted up to die at Golgotha's hill. 3 hours when he was exposed to the reproach of men. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. While the hymn tells us, himself he could not save. Love stream too deeply flowed. He hung there because of his love for his God and his love for you and me. You think of how he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, there was an announcement from the repentant thief, 2 malefactors, one on each side. One could say, as having a light in his soul, this man has done nothing amiss. Well, these second 3 hours, from the 6th hour to night now, was when Jesus bore the penalty of sins, the burden of sins. Alone he bore it. Oh, you think of the awfulness of these 3 hours. None could measure that. The hymn says, Thou didst measure then sin's distance. Darkness, wrath, and curse were thine. All was laid upon Jesus, the judgment of our sins. And after these 3 hours, when he was forsaken of God, as made sin, the one who knew not sin, he uttered a loud cry and laid down his life. He yielded up his life in death. He completed the work that was given him in relation to the atoning sufferings. He could say it is finished. Oh, wonderful fact that the Lord Jesus could say it is finished. Then we think of him shedding his precious blood, that blood that redeems us to the blessed God. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. We've been redeemed to God, not by corruptible things, but by silver or gold, but by precious blood. Well, he went into death, broke the power of death forever by rising again. The testimony or the announcement was, he is not here. He is risen. You seek Jesus, the crucified one. Oh, you think of him out of death and then raised up to be where he now is at God's right hand. He who descended into the lower parts of the earth is the same who has also ascended far above all heavens, filling all things. Oh, the glory of the position that Christ now occupies. Well, Philip was an evangelist who had a successful gospel campaign, as we would describe it, in Samaria. But the angel of the Lord directed him to go down to the desert. And he may have wondered why he was being sent there, but he was obedient, a servant of the Lord indeed. And as in the desert, the Spirit says to him, run and join the chariot. Oh, you think of God's interest in this particular man. He's interested in you. He's interested in all men. He desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. Oh, how wonderful to know that he's able to save souls tonight. Are you saved by Jesus? This is a day of opportunity. This was a day of the eunuch's opportunity. God wasn't going to let this man go back to Ethiopia before he had had a testimony of the glad tidings of Jesus. And the one to give him that testimony was Philip. Philip used the chariot, a very unusual place to preach the gospel. It was Philip's pulpit to preach the gospel to that man. And he heard the gospel from the lips of Philip, and he opened his heart to receive the Saviour. He believed the testimony of Philip, and is believing it. He received faith to accept it. For the gift of faith comes by report, and the report by God's word. So he's given faith. He really, in the light of what took place earlier after Peter's preaching, where they were pricked in their conscience and said, what shall we do, brethren? And he said, repent each one of you and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Ethiopian eunuch clearly saw the need for being baptized. He saw that it, as the testimony was rendered, that the Lord's life was taken from the earth. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Seeing this, he recognized that if one that he now knew and loved because of what he had done for him, he wanted to follow him. And so he said, seeing that water, here is water, what hinders me being baptized? And Philip agrees to baptize this Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, how wonderful to recognize that one was so affected by the glad tidings that he wanted to go out of sight. And it's a triumph of divine grace that through the glad tidings, persons can become identified with the Lord Jesus as having the way in which he has gone by way of death, buried with him by baptism to walk in the newness of life, we read in the scripture. And so Philip is now completed his service, and the Ethiopian eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, having clearly in the words of scripture repented towards God and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there was an oasis in the desert to allow Philip to baptize the eunuch, but there was also this wonderful good news that came from heaven, for Christ speaks from heaven tonight. He spoke from heaven to the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was the instrument of telling forth the glad tidings of Jesus, announcing the glad tidings of Jesus. But the Lord Jesus himself spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, and it was good news from a far country. Drunken by the Ethiopian eunuch, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so was the speaking of Jesus. Have you heard him speaking to you? He's speaking tonight, speaking loudly. We have in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. Oh, the invitation tonight to have to do with Jesus before this wonderful dispensation runs to a close. I just commend my Saviour to you. He's coming again, coming to receive each one who believes, each redeemed soul. The host of the redeemed will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. But in the meantime, how wonderful it is to know that the river of God's grace, through righteousness applied, for the work of Christ at the cross was a righteous work, and God is able to clothe us in his worth, the worth of Christ, so that we stand righteous before him, holy and blameless before God in love, all as a result of the Lord Jesus. And that river of God's grace is flowing over this barren world where Jesus died, and is flowing into souls tonight to bring, to bear upon them the opportunity that is available to them, soon the opportunity to receive the blessing that God is so desirous of bestowing upon his creature will be over and not forever. But tonight, God has set forth Christ as a mercy seat through faith in his precious blood, the blood that cleanses us judicially in the sight of God. Oh, meet a Saviour God tonight at the mercy seat through faith in his blood. I urge you, today is the well-accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Receive at his hand that which he delights to bestow upon you, the forgiveness of your sins, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's clear that the Ethiopian eunuch received the gift of the Holy Spirit, for it clear from the way he went on his way rejoicing that he had a link with the Saviour, knew his sins forgiven, all consequent in the Spirit's service to us. And that service continues. How needful it is to have the Spirit active in our lives, drawing attention to Christ and preserving us in an evil world. May the glad tidings have their own effect upon us, the glad tidings of Jesus. No blessing comes outside of Christ. He is the theme of the gospel. He is the one who is set forth in the glad tidings to be your Saviour. He's my Saviour. And I'm thankful that I'm saved and saved forever. Saved to have my part in those scenes above where Christ reigns supreme. May the word come home afresh tonight in the power of the Spirit, and may it have effect on some soul listening to the glad tidings. May the Lord bless the word for his name's sake.